Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from tonight's Holy Gospel found in Luke 17. And as he, Jesus, entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." This is God's word. Beginning, I want to apologize. I hope none of you are thrown off by my lounge singer voice tonight. I sound like I smoked 4 packs of cigarettes in the last 24 hours. I promise you I haven't. I've not taken that up. It just sounds a little different tonight. And I felt good before the service. All of a sudden, it's getting a little husky, huh? So bear with me. I might go a little bit shorter tonight, but then when all is said and done, it'll probably be 20 minutes anyway. These lepers in our gospel tonight, they're singing one of the oldest songs of the church. They say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." We call it the Kyrie Eleison, and we even sang it ourselves tonight. "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." We could go all the way back to the 400s, 400 years after Christ walked the earth. We know that the church was singing this as part of their worship. "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." And that's what the lepers are crying out for as well. Now, who cries out for mercy? The blind in the Gospels, we know that they cry out for mercy. The demon-possessed, their family members go to Jesus and ask him, "Lord, have mercy on this loved one who's afflicted." And these, the lepers, they cry out to God to have mercy on them. What kind of people cry out for mercy? People who are beyond hope. And the only thing left is for God to intervene into their lives. So why do we sing these words? Are we hopeless? Are we as wretched and beyond hope and repair as these lepers that come before Jesus? What is it we're saying about ourselves when we say, "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy"? Well, we're calling ourselves effectively spiritual lepers. Consider who those lepers were in the Old Testament. They were unclean in the eyes of the Old Testament religion and the Jewish religion of Jesus' day. They were ceremonially unclean and therefore could not come into the temple. They were outcasts. They were forced to live beyond the city gates. And in those days, if you went outside the city gates, you would see the lepers together in like their own colony, living together where they were separated with their disease from the other people so they couldn't catch it. They were the untouchable. Didn't dare touch someone with leprosy, for it was terribly contagious. They were terminal. There wasn't really a cure for leprosy, just the wasting away of your skin as your body was covered from head to toe in sores. Only if you have a God who is merciful can you be spared from such a state. Only if you have a God who is merciful can you and I be spared from our spiritual leprosy. Because that's what we are, unclean with sin, outcasts, deserving to live outside the city walls of heaven, untouchable, filthy, and disgusting with our wretched sin. And there is no cure that you will find on earth for sin and wickedness and evil that lies within us. Only if God is merciful, and God has mercy on sinners, can you be spared from spiritual leprosy. We've entered now our celebration of thankfulness. And we're reminded to count the numerous things for which we indeed are thankful at this time of year. Houses, food, vehicles, jobs, family, friends, good health. What do we deserve? What is it that we deserve from God? Well, as spiritual lepers, we deserve to be cast out of God's presence, to be left to rot and die like a leper. That's what we deserve. But that's not what we get. Because God has had mercy on us spiritual lepers. He does pour out his blessings upon us. And let's never forget, dear friends in Jesus Christ, that the most important of these blessings is that he washes away our sin. As you mentally enumerate the blessings that God has given you, where does that fall on your list? Lots of good things for which we should certainly be thankful. The houses and the TVs and the cars and the family and the food and the health and all these things. But above it all is a Savior who cleanses the unclean, who draws near to the outcast, who touches the untouchable, who heals the terminally ill with sin. Thanks be to God, he's regarded you and me in such a way. No, we're not the ones that he stays away from. We're not the ones that he refuses to touch. We're not the ones that he says they're beyond help. He takes on human flesh himself and lives among us, dies among us, brings forgiveness among us. Thanks be to God. Many of you know that Thanksgiving as a national holiday started back in November of 1863, about a month earlier, President Lincoln, in the middle of the Civil War, issued a proclamation that declared that the last Sunday in November would be a day of national Thanksgiving. And I think it was perhaps during World War II when it was switched to the fourth Thursday. But roughly, end of November, we give thanks as a nation. And Lincoln wrote in his Thanksgiving proclamation, he said, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies." And then Lincoln goes on to enumerate what some of those blessings were, how God had preserved them in the middle of war, how he was swinging favors toward the side of the Union armies, how he was caring for the people, even in the midst of war, blessing their armies and navies, giving them mines and iron and coal, the necessary materials they needed to fight the war, law that kept order among the people. And after he lists all these things, Lincoln says this, "They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy." Lincoln, good president, not quite there as a Bible scholar. Now, Lincoln, from what we know, was a pretty learned man, obviously, and he knew the Bible fairly well. But he said in his address that God deals with us in anger for our sins. King David, on the other hand, said in Psalm 103, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." See, the mercy of God which Lincoln saw but didn't fully understand, is not that God somehow just withholds his anger for a little while, as Lincoln seemed to think was happening during that war. Who can blame him in the era in which he lived for seeing things that way? But rather, you are those upon whom God has turned away his anger. He doesn't deal with you according to your sins. He doesn't repay you what you owe for your iniquity, David says. He shows you mercy. David continues, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." So great is his steadfast love. Do you know in Hebrew, when it says that God has a steadfast love toward us, there's a special word for that love. And it's the only time that word is ever used. It's to describe God's love. There isn't even really a fitting English interpretation for it. We call it steadfast love, love that never stops, love that is great and never ends. It's a love that we can't begin to comprehend, a love of which we have just the tiniest amount of understanding. It's because of that great love that God has had mercy on you and me. Poor, diseased, spiritual lepers that we are. One of those lepers in the text today understood Jesus as the source of his healing. You know, these 9 other lepers kind of get a bad rap because Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. And as they go, it says they are cleaned. They are clean. Their leprosy goes away. We presume they kept on going to the priest to show themselves, just like they were told to do. But one of them turns back, falls at the feet of Jesus, and praises him. And Luke tells us that he was a Samaritan. The Samaritans were kind of the, I don't know how to put it. I have a colorful term I would use in Bible study, but not in the pulpit. They were kind of the people who had sort of been disowned as God's people. People who had been driven from exile in the northern tribes of Israel, and some of them still remained in the area. They'd picked up a lot of bad worship practices, worshiping some false gods and not knowing what to do with sacrifices. They didn't even understand the significance of the temple anymore. And this Samaritan in his ignorance, who doesn't even know why he should go to the temple anyway, does something incredible. He turns and he goes to our temple. He goes to Jesus. He falls at the feet of his Lord to give him thanks. Because he recognizes that healing and life and forgiveness are found in the one who has had mercy on the lepers. Instead of going to the priest in the temple, this Samaritan who's been healed goes to our great high priest, as he's called in the book of Hebrews. Jesus is your great high priest who declares you to be clean, to be whole, to be healed. He declares you worthy to come into his courts and into his presence. So on this Thanksgiving, as you give thanks for all the material possessions you have, family and friends, deer hunting, football games, and all the things that go along with it, give thanks, dear people of God, that above all, God has heard our Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. He's heard our cry for mercy. And in this great high priest, Jesus, us spiritual lepers are cleansed for all eternity. To our merciful Lord Jesus be our thanks and praise. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.